into the world already. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you so richly given us to us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this afternoon that there is clarity and truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision, with accuracy. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive. There is no contradiction in this session. There is no contradiction in this session in the name of Jesus. At the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 16. Matthew's Gospel 16. Verse 13. And he came and said unto them, and asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Right? And he said unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art what? Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. Now we've understood that, Christ is the rock of salvation. Are we together? Christ is the seed. Is that true? Is Christ the rock? Is Christ the seed? So Christ is the rock, which is a fulfillment of the promise of the seed in Genesis 3:15. Are we together? Now we said that in fulfillment of prophecy, the incarnation will be the first step taken. So it means that as saints, we cannot deny the humanity of God. We cannot deny the humanity of Jesus. We cannot deny the fact that Jesus came in the what? Flesh. So we have tried to examine the incarnation. I will try to establish the basics of where death started from. And we said that death is first spiritual, then the physical explains the spiritual. Are we together? So Adam died first spiritually, then he understood death, or mankind now understands death by an experience. So Adam died spiritually first, then we now see that, he died physically. So in the year that Adam died, you know what came to my mind? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Your Uzziah must die before you see the Lord. Hallelujah. In the year that King Uzziah died, just a reference in time. Yeah, in the year that Yeradua died, my daddy bought a car. Yeradua did not need to die. Remember that bought a car. So now think the car he bought is Karina E. So, so in the year that Adam died, Adam still lived for years after. So Adam died spiritually, and we said death is fundamentally a separation. So death, spiritual death, is fundamentally the Spirit of God separated from man. Then that will now be explained and understood in the separation of man's spirit from man's body. Are we together? So death is fundamentally a separation. So go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 27. So when it says that upon this rock I will build my church, it cannot be Peter that is the rock. Are we together? Are we together? So Matthew 27 verse 46. Look at verse 45 first. Matthew 27 verse 45. Now, it says, now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. Are we together? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. What language is that? Don't fall for the trap. Aramaic. So there are three fundamental languages in the Bible, amongst many others. We have the Hebrew, we have the Greek, we have the Aramaic. You know, the Aramaic is close to Hebrew and Greek, sorry. So you know the way you say pidgin English, Aramaic is like pidgin Greek. I was together. So imagine Ela, 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 lama sabachthani. So he now says, my God, why are you forsaking me? The real pidgin of that is. Did you say P man? What is the Greek way of my God? They say P man, P man. They say P man, P man. Why you take Limi like this? What would I even thought you say like Popsy or some Popsy? Or, how you say P man? Barry, you need the Lord. So P-man, why you take Limi like this? Or why you take Limi for middle of nowhere? Are we together? So my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let's look at a few words there. The word here, forsaken, is the Greek word I will spare for you. And you will know why afterwards. E-G-K-A. E-G-K-A. T-A. L-E-I-P-O. E-G-K-A-T-A-L-E-I-P-O. You will know later. I said so. Pronounce it. The word there, forsaken, is E-G-K-A. T-A-L-E-I-P-O. Ekatalipio. Ekatalipio. So, E-G-K-A-T-A-L-E-I-P-O. And it means to abandon or to leave behind. Let's see some other use of that word. Mark 15, 34. Mark 15, 34. You know, those are other encounters. It says, in the night hour, Jesus cried. The last was saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? That word also is used in Romans 9:29. Look at Romans 9:29 quickly. Romans 9:29. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodomah and been made like unto Gomorrah. Are we together? Yeah, left us. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25, quickly. Not forsaking. Can you see the word forsaking? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Hebrews 13:5. Let the conversation be with that conversation. We can never know what they said, but he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So now, fundamentally, there's a separation between the spirit of man and the body of man. That's what you term as spiritual death. So it means that there was a separation between God's spirit and his body. So there will be an everlasting bond between the spirit of God and our body because of that separation. Are we together? The reason for the separation is so that there will be an eternal bond between us and the spirit. So even if your mortal body will decay and turn to ashes under the ground and mix together with decayed wood, there is life there. Are we together? Are we together? Now, let me ask you a question. Take note of this. Remember that the writings of the four Gospels is called the eyewitness account. Are we together? Is it called the eyewitness account? So it means that what you will see there will be as based on what their eyes could see. Are we together? I'll say it again. What you will see in the eyewitness account will be based on what the eyes of those disciples could see. It means that their eyes could not see what was happening in the grave. So it means that what happened in the grave will not be found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Are we here? Because it's an eyewitness account. But now remember, Jesus will teach and say everything he's saying from the Old Testament writings, that is the writings of Moses and the prophets. So it means that we can find what Jesus said in the writings and utterances of the prophets. Because you can only know that which is said in the land of the unseen by prophecy. Are we together? If prophecies don't go ahead of time, you will never know what Jesus said in the grave. So look at Psalm 22 verse 1. Psalm 22, verse what? 1. What does it say in verse 1? Let's get there. Psalm 22, verse 1, quickly. Psalm 22, verse 1. Are we there? Psalm 22, verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Hello. Did we just read that in Matthew 27? Why did they know Jesus said that? Their eye could see when he, do you understand? It was something seen. But actually, it's questionable. Because in the real sense, when Jesus was close to the cross, or when Jesus was on the cross, how many people were close to him that could hear what he was saying? All the men left him, only women. Are we together? They denied him. Who, Jesus, who? I don't know him. So it means that, I remember, they have flogged Jesus. So the strength we used to say, my God, is not something that will be loud. It's not as they were flogging him, he just used the last energy. Eli! No. So we could tell what he said from the, we could tell what he said clearly from the utterances of the prophets. Are we together? So, Psalm 22 verse 1. So my God, why are you forsaking me? Is not first mentioned in Matthew 24, 27. We see it in Psalm 20. Let's read quickly. My God, why are you forsaking me? Remember, that's the only line we could get. See the other things he said. Why are thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in night season, and I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O holy that inhabited the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered, and they trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Is that Jesus? Is that Jesus? Beautiful, right? Verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. Is that Jesus? All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Is that Jesus? Beautiful. They shut out their lips. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Is that Jesus? Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Verse 9. But thou art he who took me out from the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from my womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. Is that true? Is that true? They gapped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. Is that what they did to Jesus? Is that what they did to Jesus? So let me ask you, you know, there's something we actually need to study. In the utterances of David's personal life, I found the prophecies of Jesus. So this is a confession by prophecy. But in the real sense, the man writing this had similar experience to this. So when the Bible says according to the scriptures, it's not necessarily according to what was written, but it will include both what was written and the actions. Don't miss that, okay? Don't miss that, please. So many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me. They gat upon me with their mouth. Look at verse 14. I am poured out like water. Is that like Jesus? Is that Jesus? And all my bones are out of joint. Is that Jesus? My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of the bowels. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw. Is that Jesus? Thou art brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. Look at it. When he now says, thou art brought me to the dust of death, would that be the thing Jesus said in the grave? Keep reading, okay? For dogs have compassed me. For dogs have compassed me, an assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Is that Jesus? Is that Jesus? I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garment among them. Is that Jesus? What did they do with Jesus' garment? They tore it and divided it amongst themselves. Right? They part my and cast lot upon my vesture. But be not thou far away from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast hid me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto thy brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be steadfast, satisfied rather, and they shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the end of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindness of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, for he is the governor amongst the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none shall keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted the Lord for the generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen? So, it means that Psalm 21 contains the words that Jesus spoke in Hades. Or let me say it this way. Psalm 21 verse 1 to 31 contains the word, 22 rather, Psalm 22 verse 1 to 31 contains the words of Jesus from the cross up unto Hades and a little part of the resurrection. Are we together? Are we together? Look at Hebrews 2:12 quickly. Hebrews 2:12. Saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, and I'll sing praise unto thee. Is that from Psalm 22? Did we read that, Psalm 22, verse 22? Look at verse 13. And again, I'll put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God had given me are for signs and wonders, right? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the what? Hebrews 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 12 to 14, right? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is what? So who has the power of death? The devil, right? So God partook in death to deal with death. Are we together? God partook in death to deal with death. Now go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We've read Psalm 22. Look at Psalm 16. Verse 8. Psalm 16, verse what? 8. Don't be tired, though. Say, I will not be tired.
I will not be tired.
By the special grace of God. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord before me because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Are we together? Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou will not leave my soul in where? In hell. Neither will thou suffer thy only one to see what? Corruption. Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verse 25. Look at Acts 2, 23. Please, let's read this together. Acts 2, 23. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Did God slay Jesus? Who slayed Jesus? The wickedness and missed men. What did God do in the slaying of Jesus? He delivered himself. He gave up himself. Are we together? Look at 24. Bless you together. 24. 1, 2, 3, go. Beautiful. Verse 25. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, verse 26.
Therefore, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope.
27.
Because thou wilt not leave my soul thereof, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one.
28. Thou hast made known to me the way of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy at thy presence. Hold on. Where is Peter teaching from? Psalm 16, right? Where we just read. What did he say about it? Look at verse 29. 1, 2, 3, go.
Men
30 together. 1, 2, 3, go. What happened in next verse? So, did God really abandon Jesus? Did God really abandon Jesus? Did God really forsake Jesus? So, follow attentively. What did Peter now explain? Yeah, you will not allow your only words suffer corruption. At the presence of Lord, there is fullness of what? Joy. Is this saying when you come together for Bible seminar? Sunday morning? What is the presence of God? The appearance from the grave, the resurrection. So, upon the resurrection, there is fullness of joy. Are we together? So, God did not abandon Jesus. But look at this carefully. Yeah? Let's examine some words carefully. So, if you look at verse 32, it now says that this Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are what? Witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, what? exalted. So Jesus, Paul, Peter teaches about the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the what? Ascension. Look at it again. He says, therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the what? Holy Ghost. Can you see that in that verse? Peter makes us see that the ascension to the right hand of God is actually the receiving of the promise of the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Did you see that? So he said, so this will help us tomorrow, right? So, therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for this. Altogether. So the receiving of the Holy Ghost is the ascension of Jesus. Important to take note of. The receiving of the Holy Ghost in our heart is the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of God. Altogether. The receiving of the Holy Ghost in our heart is the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of God. Look at Psalm 139, verse 8. The ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost we have received. That's tomorrow's teaching, or next week, in fact. The ascension of Jesus. So did Jesus go to the right hand of the Father? Did Jesus go to the right hand of the Father? Where is the right hand of the Father? Our hearts. Please keep that somewhere in your brains, okay? In your minds, or your hearts. Look at Psalm 139, verse 8. So, remember, by one man, sin came into the world, and death passed upon all men. So it means that to be born of Adam, what governs? Sin, by extension, death. Yeah? Adam leaves the template, is that true? The repercussion of the sin is what? Death. Now, to be born of Jesus is what? What governs? Life. Beautiful. Look at Psalm 139, verse 8. If I ascend unto up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Look at verse 8 again. If I ascend up unto the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So this is an utterance of, look at verse 7. Whither shall I go? Whether shall I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence? He's just speaking about, you know, the an aspect of God we'll look at shortly. So did we do anything to receive eternal life? We believed and were born of God. Are we together? So Adam's disobedience had a repercussion on mankind. Did you get that? What was the repercussion? Death. Adam's disobedience had a repercussion on mankind, which is what? Did Jesus' obedience have a repercussion on life, on mankind, which is what? Life. Beautiful. So God's involvement in the crucifixion of Jesus is that he gave up himself. I'll say that again. God's involvement in the crucifixion or the death of Jesus is in the fact that he gave up himself. That is how he was involved. He gave up himself. Not, he's not the one that killed Jesus. No, men killed Jesus. We saw that in Acts 2. You can see that also in Acts 4. So, God's involvement in the crucifixion is that he surrendered himself to death. So, that is God as Jesus laying aside his what? Privileges as God. Did you get that? So, Jesus' death is an example to show, or it is showing, that God, who is immortal, lays aside his privileges of immortality. So, it means that when you say, my God, why has thou forsaken me? That would be a figure of speech. What would that figure of speech imply? It will imply God's inactivity in sin and death. Please take note of that very importantly. Jesus says, my God, why have thou forsaken thee? Remember, we've seen from Psalm 16, yeah? Psalm 16, verse 10, tells us that you will not leave your only one to suffer corruption. You will not leave me in hell. So it means that God did not abandon Jesus. So it means that, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is that God is inactive in what? Sin and death. So, Jesus is the expression of God, showing God not taking upon himself his what? Immortality. So for every time it seemed like Jesus was helpless, what happened? No, he wasn't helpless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was never helpless. He just didn't lay hold on hell. So Jesus surrendered himself to sin and what? Death. He gave himself over in obedience. Yeah? Gave himself over in obedience to hand over yourself. Look at John 18 quickly. John chapter 18, verse 35. John 18, John 18, verse 35. He tells you, say, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. Can you see? Who delivered? So people delivered him. Are we together? So this is Pilate asking Jesus, your people, your chief priests rather, they've delivered you unto me. Yeah? What hast thou done? Let's read verse 36. Look at 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is what? Not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Did you see that? So God's kingdom is not a kingdom that deals with wars and fights and battles. So God's kingdom has a unique war. The war of God's kingdom is the war of peace. Okay, we'll look at that shortly. So if I were to be of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jew. But now my kingdom is not from here. Verse 38 now says what? 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou say that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my what? My voice. So this shows that his death was as a result of him surrendering himself to the hands of sin and death. So Jesus surrendered himself to partake in what? Sin and death. To partake in the wickedness of man. Look at Romans 4:25. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Romans 4, 23. It says, Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up God, Jesus our Lord, from the what? Verse 25 now says, who was delivered for what? Our offenses, and was raised again for our... Therefore being justified by what? Verse 1, being justified by what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace. So he died for our offenses and was raised for our what? Justification. Now look at Romans chapter 5 where we're reading verse 15. What did verse 15 now say? Is it verse 15 or verse 13? We're saying, wherefore, verse 12 rather, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So it means that by Adam, sin became a partaker of the activities of the world. Did you get that? By Adam, sin came into existence to be a thing amidst the activities of the cosmos, the world. Verse 14, he now says, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no what? No law. Look at verse 14. He now says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to who? Moses. Why do you suppose he says that? Moses was the point in scriptures where you see the law. So he's telling you that if death reigned from Adam to Moses, right? However, sin becomes a thing in the world when the law is given. Are we together? So he's saying that death had reigned over the sphere or affairs of men, even upon Adam, into upon Moses. So, nevertheless, death reigned. What there reigned means to govern. Look at verse 13 again. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. The word imputed is to be recorded or to be charged into account. The word imputed is to be recorded or to be charged to an account. So, for until the law, sin was in the world. However, sin is not charged into account when there is no law. Are we getting that? The only reason why you can go to a place and park, and they say it's against the law for you to park here, is because they wrote no parking. In the real sense, if they didn't write no parking, it's still a sin to park there. You are in the wrong. But what now validates the fact that it is a sin? It is the no parking which is the law that was given. So it says that what? Sin was not imputed. But did he say sin did not exist? So sin existed but was not imputed. Take note of what he's talking about. He now says, nevertheless, death reigned. That means for death to have reigned, sin reigned. Did you get? So death reigned is that sin reigned. So even though sin wasn't imputed, death was reigning. Did you get that? Sin began to be something imputed based on the law. So nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that is to come. The word here, who, is the Greek word that can be used as what or which. Yeah? So a good way to write that is, which is a figure. What is Paul teaching? Adam's sin is a figure to the sins that other men followed after. Adam's sin is a figure of that was to come. Adam's sin was a figure of that which others now walked according. Which is what Paul will now say, walking according to the course of this world. Are we here? Beautiful. Now, let me give you something to show you the Adam, you know, Adam's there and everything. So, please, as I'm going to say these scriptures, write it down. Let me help you a little. Most of them are in Genesis. So, how do you write it? Just write Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 to 31, comma, chapter 11, verse 10 to 32, comma. So, I'll start again, right? Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 to 31. Genesis 5, 1 to 31. I want us to read this, you know, I want us to read this, but maybe after, because they are really long. So let's go again. Genesis 5, are you writing? Genesis 5, verse 1 to 31. Genesis 11, are you writing? Genesis 11, 10 to 32. Genesis 5, 1 to 31. Genesis 11, 10 to 32. Genesis 25, 7 to 8. Genesis 35, 28. Genesis 47, verse 28. Genesis 50:26. I'll start again. Genesis 5, 1 to 31. Genesis 11, verse 10 to 32. Genesis 25, 7 to 8. Genesis 35, verse... Genesis 25, 7, 8. Did you get that? Genesis 35, verse what? Genesis 47, verse what? Genesis 50, verse what? Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. That's up until Moses. So we want to look at something. So I'm going to give you the list of the... Now, the reason why those verses are to be read is to see the number of years mankind began to live. So I want you in your note to write down what I'm saying. I want to get that, just so that we don't go and read it. Yeah? But when you go back, you can confirm that. So Adam lived for how many years? 900 and... Beautiful. So write it in your notes. Adam, 930. When you read, you find out that Adam lived for 930 years. Seth, number 2, 912. Enosh. E-N-O-S, 905. Canaan, 910. So Adam, 930. Seth, 912. Enosh, 905. Canaan, 910. Mehalalel, 895. M-A-H-A-L-A-L-E-L, 895. Jared, 962. Enoch. We saw that on Sunday. Remember that? How many years did Enoch live for? 3 something, right? So Enoch, right, 365. Methuselah, how many years? I'll come back in, don't worry. Right? Adam, 930. Seth, 912. Enosh, 905. Canaan, 910. Mehalel what? Jared what? Enoch what? Methuselah what? Remember, what does Methuselah mean? When he dies, it will happen. Right? Who gave him that name? His father. His father. You are not godly people. But that's the question I'm asking. Who gave him that name? Enoch. Say his father. Oh my gracious father. Who said his father? Is it Abraham? Let me. He now said Enoch. So his father that is Enoch. So Methuselah means when he dies it shall happen. So Enoch gave him that name. What was going to happen when he dies? No, they are too fast. What was going to happen when Methuselah died? Noah's flood. Did we look at that on Sunday or not? Beautiful. So Methuselah 969, Lamech 777. Lamech 777, Noah 950. Lamech 777, Methuselah 969, Noah 950, Shem 600, Salah 433. Don't worry, I'll go over it. Just keep writing. The one you can write, just write. Yeah, even if for you to jump space. So, always making me feel like I want to write. So, because you trust that the person that is talking will repeat what he's saying. Any word you don't get, just say, don't. Yeah, just jump. Even if you don't jump appropriate space, because you have so much. Let me see your notes. See, you see this? Can you see this? Adam, live for this. So, if you had gotten to Enoch and you didn't get what I said here, even if the space you left here was not up to a line to accommodate you, what do? You just draw a line afterwards. You can write something like OM, omitted, or something like that, and just write the one. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it's not like I'm saying, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah. Because the moment you do this, you will miss every other thing I'm saying. But if you trust, and you know that I'm always repeating what I'm saying, right? So once you miss it, just leave a space, jump it, write it. So I said, Lamech what? 777. Is the what? Is the number. All glory to God. Those of you that only listen to radio. So, Noah. No, I didn't mean her. Which one I say, wow. That's when I'm hearing your voices out energy in today's meeting. I feel like dancing to that song. So Noah is 950. Shem is how many? Salah is 433. Iba is 464. Shem 600. Salah 433. Iba, E-B-E-R. Not Eba, 464. Because Milk has already Eba, now it's longer. Peleg. Peleg and Ru. Peleg is P-E-L-E-G. And R-E-U, 239. Serug. Some of you are wondering, is this Bible that this man is quoting from? I'll go by again. Salah 433, Iba, that's feminine, Eba, 464. 464, Iba, Peleg. Peleg is what? 239, Aru, Seruk, S-E, R-U-G. So I'm here, Iru. I said, Seru, not Iru. We have Nabor, 148. Seru, 230. Terra, 205. Who is Terra? Beautiful. Abraham's father is Terra. Terra is 205. Abraham is 175. Isaac is 180. Jacob is 147. Joseph is 110. Moses is 120. Serug is 230. Nahor is 148. Terah is 205. Abraham is 175. Isaac is 180. Jacob is 147. Joseph is 110. And Moses is 120. Now, what I wanted us to do was to draw a graph, but we don't have a board here. But I want you to carefully look at those things you wrote down. And look at the progression of those ages. And tell me what you notice. You have started drawing the graph. That's right. Yeah? Start drawing the graph. So just draw the graph. Take note of everything and draw the graph. Let me know where the graph came down and went off suddenly and came down again. So keep drawing, okay? You have finished your Bible? I was going to be excited. So, we draw the graph, yeah? We draw the graph from Adam to Moses. So, what does the graph look like? Can you see inconsistency? So, how many years did Moses live for? How many years did Adam live for? 930. Are we together? So, can you see, if you notice, you realize that it started coming this way. Everyone look at me. So, if you draw the graph, it started coming this way. Is that true? Then it got here, then went up. Who is here? Methuselah is the up. Who is here? Beautiful Enoch, right? So it came from Adam, came to Enoch, then went up. And that going up surpassed Adam. You notice that? Because Methuselah is now 6969. 930 is Adam. Then what now happens again? It starts coming down. It starts coming down. Then before you know it, it starts going straight. Up again a little. Yeah? You now realize that from that Methuselah, then Noah's time, you now start seeing after the fall, then it started getting towards, when it started counting from the 400s to 120. Started looking like a line fluctuating. We now have a 148, a 205, a 175, 180. Can you see the inconsistency? After Noah's flood again, did it drop down? Think about it now. Noah was 950. The next to him was what? 600. Is that a massive drop again? Beautiful. So can you see the inconsistency in the death across men? What is Paul telling you? Death reigned over those men. What you call the law, we come with Moses. Remember John 1:17 yesterday. The law was what? Offered by Moses. Given by Moses. Are we together? So what did Jesus do to deal with death? Jesus partook in death to kill death. Are we together? So, who has the power of death? The devil. Are we here? Are we here? Now, let me ask you a question. In Genesis chapter 3, you want something? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. What happened? The serpent came. Have we explained the serpent? Who is the serpent? Satan? The devil. Let me now tell you something that we'll explain subsequently, probably this seminar or the next one. Right? God did not create the devil. As the devil. Are we here? God did not create the devil as the devil. The devil became the devil in his actions amidst men. Take note of that. The devil became the devil in his action amidst the activities of man. Let me show you something about Lucifer. Look at Isaiah 14. Are you happy? You know, some of us grew up believing that God has three angels, three W's. Angel Michael, the what? Warrior now. Angel Gabriel, the what? Messenger. Then Angel Lucifer, the worshipper. There are three W's in heaven. One is the worshipper. No, there are three W's in heaven. One is the what? Warrior, the warden. And one W is missing. The worshipper. God is looking for you to worship him. Can you stand in that gap today? Let me ask you a question. Is God worship hungry? Is God worship hungry? Is God praise hungry? So why do we think that if we don't praise him, he will raise stone? It means that we need to look at those verses properly again. Yeah? God is not one who is looking forward to your washing. The concept of worship and praise or singing is just a concept of, is a human concept of acknowledging what is done that is good. Does Ronaldo play soccer and improve himself because he wants you to worship him? Do people worship him? So we say good. So it is just normal in the instinct of man to say good about something good that has been done. That's why when someone does good for you, what do you say? You say thank you. When his person's better, what do you say? Epitome of apple in my garden, sorry. Are we together? So now, when you see Lucifer was a worshipper, so we believe Lucifer used to have instrument around him. When you do like this, you hear cymbal. When you do like this, you hear keyboard. Then when he now wants violin to play, you just do like this. And then okay, that's shekere. You just do like the shekere. When you do like this, it's talking drum. So we believe that Lucifer was designed with instruments all around him. But now I say, even when he moves, he's a worshiper. Are we together? You know nowadays some people have started shifting from worship to worship. You know what's worship? Worship, I mean the worship. So look at Isaiah 14. Is that what you wrote? Isaiah 14 verse 12. Let's see something. How art thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou called down to the ground, which diseases wicked the nations? For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and in the side of the north. I will ascend above the height of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High. You see, the word there, Lucifer, is the Hebrew word Hallel. H-E-Y-L-E-L. Lucifer is the Hebrew word Hallel. H-E-Y-L-E-L. Derived from the word halal, H-E-Y-L-E-L, derived from the word H-A-L-A-L. And it's a word used for an inanimate object that shines. Really? Because I don't want to deal with Lucifer and devil today. Let's leave him. Yeah? Isaiah simply used that as an imagery to explain something about the kingdom of Babylon. Are we together? This explanation is an imagery used to explain a king. Let's look at another example in Ezekiel 28, verse 14. Ezekiel 28, verse 1. Look at Ezekiel 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord God came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of what? Tyros. So he look at what he now says. Thus says the Lord, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. Is that a man? Is that a man? Is Tyros a place? Is Tyros a place? Is Tyros a place? Is the prince of Tyros going to be a man? So was it a man that was saying, I am a God? Did you get that? So he's saying, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God. So this is a scolding. Are we together? Look at verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of what? And say unto him, thus says the Lord, thou sealest of the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in what? Beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, everything, the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covered. Now remember, he was referring to a man, the prince of Tyros. Can we say this man that the prince of Tyros was wealthy? So what is Ezekiel saying? Ezekiel is using an imagery to explain the manifestation of Satan in an earthly ruler. Who is this earthly ruler? The prince of Tyros. Okay? So Satan is explained as a supernatural being beyond man's desire or man's lust. Are you getting that? So Satan, I'll say it again, Satan is explained as a supernatural being behind man's desires and actions in sin. So Satan is explained as a supernatural being behind man's desires or man's lust. What is lust? We said that earlier on. Something that's forbidden, right? So lust is having desires that are forbidden. Beautiful. So Satan is explained as the supernatural being behind man's desires or actions in lust. So in the real sense, the temptation of Satan is found behind man's desires. It means that if man doesn't lust, Satan will not have anything to tempt. Are you getting me? The temptation of the devil is dependent or is expressed, or the lust of man is found to be the supernatural involvement of the devil. So the temptation of Satan is found behind man's desires in temptation. Let me say it better. Man's disobedience had to do with devil's involvement. But in the real sense, man's lust. I'll say it again. Man's disobedience had to deal with devil's involvement. Man's disobedience had to deal with devil's involvement, but in the real sense, man's lust. Man's ungodly desire. Did you get that? Man's disobedience has to do with what? Devil's involvement. But in the real sense, it is what? Man's what? Lust. So what did we say Lucifer was used for? An inanimate object that what? Shines light or shines. Now look at Luke 17 verse 24. And we said the word is Alel, which was gotten from Alal. Look at Luke 17, 24. Luke 17, 24. Luke 17, 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his what? Look at Luke 10. Look at Luke 10, verse 18. You know, this is the story of when disciples went out and casted out demons and said, the devils are subject to your name and everything. Then see what it says in verse 18. Luke 10, 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from where? Heaven. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from where? Heaven. Now, let me now explain something to you. Now, you see, the phrase as used in that verse is an aoristic state or an aorist statement. I'll spell it for us. A-O-R-I-S-T. Now, look at verse 17 again. He says, and the 70 return again with joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld. The word there, I, doesn't have a translation there. It's actually silent. So it is beheld Satan, right, as what? Lightning. That word lightning is a word derived from that which lightens. Or is derived from the word that means to lighten. Is that similar to the Hebrew word alal? So, the word beheld, you know, it's a word that actually, you know, that I beheld Satan as lightning, you know, from heaven. It's actually something, that word I called it, aorist, right? Is that right? Statement. Now, let me give you the meaning of that word. It's a word that, it's a verb tense used to express past or future events in an unqualified way. It's a verb tense used to express past or future events in an unqualified way. An aorist statement is a statement or a verb tense used to express a past or a future event in an unqualified way. So it means that you describe an event, but you are not qualifying whether it's past or future. But your point, your attention must be at the fact that the event is described. Let me ask you a question. I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Let me help you. I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Where would that happen? I beheld Satan fall like lightning. Can that be Jesus ripping off Satan from his authority of death? Where would that be done? In the future. That is the resurrection. So I beheld Satan fall like lightning. It's not Genesis 1. No. Are we here? It is what will happen as a result of the what? Resurrection. So Jesus was describing a futuristic event in the resurrection. How do we know? See what he now tells you. He told them look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, okay, look at, let's read it carefully. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. When would that power be given? Resurrection now. So it means that the beholding of the lightning is not from Genesis. It's not from Adam. It's upon the resurrection. Because the effect of that beholding of the lightning, or the devil fall like lightning, is what? Power over the enemy. Nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Now, see verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that your spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your what? Your names are written in the book. So when is that book, or your name written in the book of life, is that a work of the resurrection? Beautiful. So it will be the work of the Lamb done. That is the resurrection ahead. So it's an aoric statement. So what were they to see in the resurrection? It means that upon the resurrection, they were to see Satan fall. Did you get that? Upon the resurrection was to show that Satan will what? Fall. So the light of the resurrection exposes Satan for who he really is. Are we together? The light, I'll say that again, the light of the resurrection exposes Satan for who he really is. The light of the resurrection exposes Satan for who he really is. Who is the God of this world? Who is the God of this world? Satan, right? 2 Corinthians 4. If our gospel be hid, is it to them who are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded their what? Their hearts, right? Let me ask you a question. When the devil met Jesus and said, if you bow to me, I will give you all this world. Did Jesus say, no, you are not the ruler of the world? Did Jesus say the earth is the Lord's? So it means that devil is the God of this world. Now, when did devil have authority over this world? At the fall of Adam. Are we together? So it was in the fall of Adam that God, that Adam gave authority to the devil. Are we together? It was in the fall of Adam that Adam handed over the authority to the devil. Remember, when God created Adam, he was to have authority over his creation. So mankind was to be in authority over the world, over the earth. But in the sin of man, man handed over that authority to what? Satan. So it will mean that God will come and reveal and expose Satan, which is what you will now call what? I beheld Satan fall like lightning from a place of authority. Are we together? So Adam, through his unbelief, handed over the authority of death, or the authority unto the devil. That's why the devil is called what? The God of this what? World. Recall, sin is man-made. Is that true? Is death man-made? By extension, sin made. Beautiful. So devil is called the God of this world because he rules over the activities of this world. That's why Ephesians 2 now tells you, you walk according to the course of this world. Yeah? 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 The prince of the power of the air, which is the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? So, the authority of the devil was the authority of death. So, how will God deal with death and the authority and he who has the authority? By partaking in what? Death. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 55. First Corinthians 15, verse 55. Look at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall he be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is what? Death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So it means that what? Jesus will partake in death, that is God the immortal, will partake in death to disarm the devil from the authority of death. Please write that down. If you've not written anything down in today's seminar, write that down, everything I'll say going forward. Yeah? Devil had the authority of death. That's why John now tells you, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to what? Who is the thief that kills and steals and destroys? The devil, the God of this world. But I've come to give you life. So how did God now make life available? He partook of death. Do you know what it is? Let me explain to you. Please come, brother. Imagine this brother is bragging of $1 billion. Imagine this brother is bragging of $1 billion and trying to say no man on this earth can boast of $1 billion. You know what she does? She picks $1 billion and multiplies it by 2 and burns it in fire. Are we together? She picks $2 billion, puts it in fire, and burns it. The boast of him was $1 billion. To deal with his boast, he had to make his boast look useless by bringing that which he is boasting in and causes it to look like nonsense. Did you get that? So she takes $2 billion and burns it in front of him. You see, you talk. The boast of devil was death. What did God do? That is your victory, right? Okay, I submit myself to death and I die. It says, for as much as children, being partakers of flesh and blood, he partook of death. So, God killed death by dying. Did you get that? You can sit down, brother. God dealt with death by dying. God killed death by dying. God gave death the last card by dying. So he killed death by death. She killed his pride by death and above. $2 billion. So God dealt with death by dying. Are we together? God dealt with death by what? Dying. So remember, like I said something, imagine from the beginning, God created Adam, put the responsibility of mankind in his hands, right? Yet considering other people's choices. Yet he says, Adam, what I want for you is to go right, immortal life. Yeah, but if you don't choose right, you have to go left. Right? And what does he do? He goes left. The same God which is still at the point of beginning, what does he do? From that time, already prepares a plan of an Ezer. Who is the Ezer? The helpmeet. All together. So the Ezer will come and rescue man and bring deliverance, right? And realign them back to what? The original plan he had. Right? The plan he has of good, not of evil. Are we together? So he brings them back to the right path. How did he bring them back to the right path? He now used that which was caused as a result of the decision of going left. He partook in it and dealt with it. So in doing that, he's making mockery of death. God made a mockery of death by dying. Hi. Did you get that? God made a mockery of death by dying. God made a mockery of death by what? By dying. So, in his partaking of death, he was dealing with death. Are we together? But guess what? Death could not hold him what? Captive. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 2, where we were. You know, we've already read. Have we read Psalm 16 today? That will not allow your Lord to suffer corruption. Yeah? And the presence is fullness of joy. Are we together? That will not leave your only one in hell, right? Look at Acts 2, verse 22. Or let's look at 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Now, when David was talking, he was talking as an utterance ahead of who? Christ. Beautiful. So therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Look at verse. Did you see that? My flesh shall what? Rest in hope. 27, because thou will not leave my soul in hell. Now let's look at the word hell. Amen? Let's look at the word hell. The word hell is the Greek word Hades. The word hell is the Greek word Hades. The word hell is the Greek word Hades. And it's a word that implies the place of the dead. You see that in Genesis 3:35, Genesis 42:38, and Job 11:8. I'll say that again. Yeah, Hades is the Greek word hell. And it's the Hebrew word Sheol. S-H-O-E-L. So Hades is the Greek word. Why Sheol is the Hebrew word? So it means that you see it in Genesis 3 verse 35 as Sheol. Genesis 42:38, Job 11 verse 8. And when you read those portions of scriptures, you will see it is often used as a place that can't be reached or gotten to physically. Please, if you've not learned anything in this series, take note of this one, everything I'll say going forward. Again, why? That's the word, Aramaic way. So, the word Hades, which is Sheol, is the word that speaks about or describes a place that cannot be reached physically. So, the land of the dead, can it be reached physically? How many of you can go to the land of the dead and go and see what's happening there and come back? See, bros. Eh? I want Shapley reach. Like Shapley just reach there, come back. I go soon come. Yeah, they come. Are we together? Yeah. So it's a word that speaks about the land of the dead, a place that cannot be gotten to physically. You can write this in addition to that, a spiritual domain. A place beyond the physical or material world, a spiritual domain. Outside of natural or physical or material world. Let me now bust the bubbles. The word Sheol is the word Hebrew, word Sheol, the word Sheol, the word Hades, which is in Greek, which is a word that speaks about what? A spiritual domain, a place which can be gotten to physically, a place beyond the physical or natural or material world. Are we together? Now, look at Psalm 103 quickly. Let's read the scripture. Psalm 103 verse 8. Psalm 103 verse 8. I know his ways, I have seen them in Christ. The mercies of God are true. The Lord is merciful and what? Gracious. Now, is that what Moses showed us in Exodus 33 as what? Goodness. You saw that yesterday? Yeah, it says the goodness of God will pass before you, right? And what is that? I'll be gracious and be what? Merciful. So it says the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. He's not saying that he gets angry, but just that he's slow. Oh my goodness, it is we say. Nobody's slow to anger. He means that he gets angry, but his anger is, he only gets there on a slow pace. But when he gets there, so he's slow in anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the head, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Are we together? For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from what? From us. Are we together? Look at Matthew 11:23. Matthew 11:23, quickly. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to what? Hell. The word there, hell, is the word what? Hades. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in what? Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Did he say hellfire? Did he say hellfire? He said hello. Matthew 16, verse 18. No, the scripture that says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of what? Did he say the gate of hellfire? So write that down. Look at Revelation 6 verse 8. Matthew 16, 18. Matthew 11, 23. Revelation 6 verse 8. Look at Revelation 6, 8. Are we there? And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. Dear saints, can death sit on horse? Eh? They say death was sitting on horse. The book of Revelation is highly figurative, highly parabolic. Are we together? Death cannot be riding on horse. So he says, and I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And who followed him? Hell followed with him. Are we together? And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the... Did he say hellfire followed him? Did he say hellfire followed him? He just said hell. What is hell? Hades in the Greek. Now, it's interesting to know that when the word Hades is used, it's not used or described with fire. Amen? Now, I'll show you another Greek word for the word hell. Quickly, go to Matthew 5:12. Did I say there's no air fire? You're laughing. Did you hear me say there's no air fire today? I just said the word hell is the word Hades, and the places we've seen that word used, they did not write fire beside it. Let me now show you something. Let me now show you an example. Look at Matthew 5:12. I'm sorry, Matthew 5:22. Matthew 5:21. Let's read together. Verse 22 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Walker. Can you see hell and fire used here now? Now let me tell you something. The word there, hell, is not Hades in this verse. The word there, hell, is the word Gena. G-E-N-A. Are we here? G-E-N-A. Regina. Gena. I didn't say Regina is hell, no. If that's the girl you are toasting now, you now say, Pastor, say it's what utterance. No. The word there, Gena, is G-E-N-A. And let me tell you something. The word there, Gena, was a geographical location they knew in that their day and time. Did you get that? The word there, Gena, is used for the word there, hell, in that verse. And it was a geographical place that they all knew. In the valley of Hinnom. There's a place called Hinnom. So everybody knew the place, like Area 1. Now, what was that place known for? It was a valley where death and refuse, even dead animals, were cast to be burnt. Are we together? It was a geographical location in southern Jerusalem. Let me give you that information also. So it was a geographical location or an area in southern Jerusalem known as the Valley of Hinnom, where fields, what you call refuse or dead, even dead animals, were cast into. So when he now uses the word fire, it was used figuratively for a destructive nature of fire. It was used figuratively for a destructive nature of fire. Let me show you another example in Matthew 23, verse 15. Matthew 23, verse what? 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him two fools, more the children of hell than yourselves. That word there, hell, is Gena. So, Gena wasn't used for the place where Jesus went to when he died. What word was used for where Jesus went to when he died? Beautiful, you are following. Hades. Which is what in the Hebrew? Sure. So Hades was used for where Jesus went to, where he died. Are we together? Remember, we've established Luke 24. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? enter into his glory. And we said that is summed up as the incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Sufferings and entering into his glory is what you call, starting from, is what you call the fulfillment of the promise of the seed. Did you get that? Yeah? Sufferings and entering into his glory is what you call the fulfillment of the promise of the seed. So starting from the incarnation up until the what? Ascension. Beautiful. Now we've examined that and everything. Now, let me show you something. Now, let me ask you a question. Which story in the Old Testament books is the closest story to the story of Jesus in the grave? Are we together? How many? Jonah was swallowed by a fish and he stayed in the belly. You don't know that song? You were born in another church. And he stayed in the belly of a fish for 3 days. So the belly of the fish that Jonah stayed in is a type and shadow of the death of Jesus. Did you get that? Did Jesus reference Jonah? Go to Matthew 12 quickly. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 39. Matthew 12, verse 39. Can we read that together? Are we here? Matthew 12, 39. 1, 2, 3, go. Sad and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign give it to them. Dear saints, was he saying that they were adulterous, they were sleeping with themselves? We've explained that, right? Yeah, when we explain ye ask amiss. And we said ye asking amiss is not about, you know, asking God for car when you're supposed to ask him for bicycle. You know, they said God has three answers when you pray to him. Yes, no, and wait. Is it yes and no? Yes, maybe, and wait. Is it yes and no? Okay, yes, no, and wait. So if God, if you're asking God, and he doesn't give it to you, the answer might be yes. If he gives it to you, it's no. You didn't get that. You didn't get that yet. Yeah? So he says, and the sign of prophet Joah should be given. Look at verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the what? So it means that Jesus spent 3 days and three nights. Are we together? So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the... So what is the heart of the earth in Jonah's story? In Jonah's story? Belly of the fish. So the belly of the fish of Jonah is the heart of the earth of Jesus. Now, let's look at a few words there. The word their heart is the word core. The word their heart is the word core, C-O-R-E. And the word their earth is the word like ground or like land. The word their earth is core, while the word their earth is like ground, G-E. Remember we said something, Hades describes the immaterial world. Did you get that? Describes the immaterial, the world that cannot be gone through physically. Did you get that? Or where the dead people go. Are we together? Glory to God. So, Jonas' experience, or Jonas' experience in the belly of the fish, is similar to Jesus' experience in Hades. So, it means that Jonas' experience prefigured Jesus. Now, go to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. So only Jonah had an almost perfect prefigure of Christ's death. Are we together? And resurrection. Because having spent time in the belly of the fish for 3 days, did he come out of the fish? Beautiful. Look at Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a what? Great fish to swallow up who? Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for what? Now look at Jonah chapter 2 verse 1. What did he say? Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the belly of the fish. That means Jonah in the belly of the fish spoke. Are we together? Are we together? That's what Jonah is making you see. That Jonah in the belly of the fish spoke. It means that Jesus in the grave will speak. Are we here? Did you get that? Look at Jonah 2 again, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord He's gone out of the belly of the fish. What is that trying to show you? That Jesus himself will speak from the heart of the earth. Is that true? The core of the land, the core of the ground, the place of the dead, Hades. I was together. So Jonah spoke words in the belly of the fish. That will imply that Jesus would have also spoken words in the grave. Now, could any eyewitness have known the words? No. How do we know the words? Beautiful, the prophecy. Have we read that today? Psalm what? 22. Did you get that? Did you get that? So by utterance, the prophets have told us what Jesus would have said in the land of the dead. So Jesus was in the land of the dead and he was talking. That means he didn't die spiritually. But he died spiritually. Remember, you must feel death as separation. Not pra. Are we together? But if Jesus died spiritually, viewing it from a separation, it means that he could still talk. The spirit will still have life. Are we there? Are we there? So it means, now look at chapter 3, chapter 2, Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep. Did you see that? In the midst of the sea. And the flood compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me even to the soul. The depths closed me around about. The weeds have wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God. Similar, familiar? Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thy holy temple. They have observed lying vanities, forsake their own mercies, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Did you see that? Can you see salvation in there? And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the what? Dry ground. So what was Jonah in the fish? Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground. It abided alone. But as soon as it comes out, it springs forth into a multiple harvest. What was Jesus doing with Jonah? Or what was Jesus doing that was similar to what Jonah did? Let me ask you a question. Jonah came out of the fish to go and do what? Preach! What did Jesus come out of the earth to do? To bring the harvest. Are we together? Are we here? Have we gone home? We are here, right? So it means that the deep will be the place of the dead. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the day, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. That's what Sheol, have you? Yeah? Thou headest my what? So did God abandon Jonah in the fish? Did God abandon Jesus in the grave? No. So my God, why art thou forsaking me is a figure of speech. What does that imply? God's own involvement in what? Sin and death. Are you learning something?
Yes,
beautiful. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 8. Wherefore he said, Ephesians 4 8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity what? And gave gifts unto. Look at verse 9. Now it says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also what? Descended into the lower parts of the earth. Is that his sufferings? Is that his sufferings? Descended into the lower parts of the earth. Is that similar to the heart of the earth? Is that similar to Hades? The land of the dead? The place that cannot be gotten to physically? The land beyond the material? Beautiful. We are following, right? Look at Psalm 68 verse 8. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. That's really where Ephesians 4, you know, comes into play. You see, if you read that, I can't seem to place my hand right now. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. He says, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity what? Where did you read that? Ephesians 4. What now happens next? Thou hast received gifts for Did you get that? Is that where Ephesians is teaching from? Yeah, receive gifts for men. Yeah, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell amongst what? Them. Blessed be the Lord our God, who daily loaded us with what? Benefits. Even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues of what? Issues from death. But God shall wound the head for the enemies and all of those things. So the Lord, I'll bring up again for Bashan and all those plenty grammar. I'll bring my, it's just really from the conversation of the death of Jesus, right? So now, Moses began to teach about the death of Jesus using the principle of atonement. Are we here? Write this down in your notes. Moses began to teach about the death and resurrection of Jesus using the principle of atonement. You can look at Leviticus chapter 16 and chapter 17. I'll summarize it for you quickly. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17, I'll summarize it for us quickly. So, the atonement was a symbolic practice for what Jesus did. Leviticus chapter 16 and Leviticus chapter 17 is two full chapters. Now, let me explain to you what Moses now did. In the principle and ceremony of the atonement, Moses taught about using two goats. Did you get that? One of the goats is taken and killed, and the high priest takes the blood and goes into the holies of holies. Did you get that? There was a holy, the temple, the tabernacle, right? They will bring a goat. They will kill the goat. Remember, Isaiah 1 shows us that God did not ask them for sacrifices. Have we cleared that? Come, let us reason together. Isaiah 1 from verse 13 to 18. Yeah, do your sins be as red as scarlet. I'll make them as white as snow. Right? If thou will be willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. If thou will be willing and obedient, thou shalt eat the good of the land. So it means that the practice of atonement was Moses' way of communicating the truth of the atonement of Jesus. So listen to this. The high priest will kill the goats, take the blood of the goat to the holiest of holies. Are we here? Remember, how many goats were involved from the beginning? Two goats. So, usually, who puts the blood from the animal on the mercy seat? High priest. Right? So, when this is done, the atonement is about to what? Start. It doesn't start there. Remember, there's a second goat. Now, usually, it should have been the same goat or the same animal that should be taken. Do you get that? Yeah? It should have been the same animal that should have been used in two places. But remember, the animal will not come back to life. Did you get that? So what would they do? They will get another goat. Same specification. Now, the second goat is called the goat of escape. The goat of escape. Or a better way to say it is what?
You got it.
The goat of escape is the scapegoat. So you know what they do with the second goat? The high priest brings the second goat and lays his hands on the second goat and confesses the sins of the people. Are we here? The first goat, has it been killed? That goat was supposed to be the goat that will be laid hands upon. But you will not bring the goat back to life. Are we together? So, the goat right now that you see, that the priest lays his hands upon, how many times do they do it every year? Once in a year. Right? So, he will lay his hands on the goat and confess the sins of the what? People. Right? Is the goat killed? That means the goat will remain alive. Did you get that? So is that symbolic for Jesus? Are we together? So it means that the atonement as Moses taught was teaching about the redemptive plan of God. But he taught it that way because of the what? Hardness of their hearts. Now, the first goat, the death of the first goat is the death of the substitutes. Please don't lose me here. The death of the first goat is the death of the substitute, while the other goat being alive carries the responsibility of the sins of the people. Did you get that? Did you get that? I'll say it again. The death of the first goat is the what? Death of the substitute. The second goat, while he is still alive, he carries up the responsibility for the sin of the people. But could the goat have helped them to take away sin? Look at Hebrews 7:25. Look at Hebrews 7:22. Are we here? This is what it says. It says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a what? Better what? Testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Are we together? So those priests could not continue their sacrifices or could not continue living because of death. Now, but this man, because he continued ever, had an unchanging what? Did you get that? Look at, let's read verse 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore he is able. So is Jesus the second God that ever lived? And in his ever lived, the sin is taken care of? Remember the second God? The second God is led into the wilderness. Right? And his being alive will take over the responsibility of what? For sins. But now we have a God that, because of his living forever, the living forever is an intercession on his own. So the fact that he's living forever is a proof that your sins have been taken care of. Are we together? For your sins not to be taken care of forever, he needs to die at a point. Did you get that? Did you get that? So he says, seeing he liveth to make intercession for us. Are we together? Look at chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinance of divine services and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlesticks and the tables and the shewbread, which is called the what? Please, let's follow. Let's follow. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of what? Of all, Hebrews 9, verse 3, verse 4. Which had the golden censer at the ark of covenant overlaid and everything, wearing a golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, all together, and the tables of the covenant over the cherubims. You know, if you keep reading, I don't want us to take our time there. Look at verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to what? By a greater and more perfect what? Not made with what? That is to say, not of this what? Neither by the blood of what? Goats and what? But by his what? What happens? He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, Jesus, now, did you see in that verse that it says that Christ being come and high priest? So, is Jesus the high priest? Is Jesus the first goat that was killed? Is Jesus the second goat that was laid hand on? Did you get it? The reason why two goats were used was because a goat will not come back from life. So they pick one goat and they pick a goat that is similar to that goat and lay hands on him for the sin confession. So that's why you hear he bore our sins. Are we together? Are we together? So Jesus is the goat. He is the high priest. He is the what? Second goat that goes into the holiest place. Where do you suppose the holiest place Jesus went to is? Hold on. The holiest place, remember, Moses, remember we started teaching from yesterday, right? Tabernacle. Remember that tabernacle? To dwell, and he dwelt, he tabernacled, right? Who was the first to use tabernacle? Moses. So tabernacle was to teach about the indwelling of. So when you see the temple, 1 Corinthians tells you that for ye are the temple of God. Yeah, temple of the Holy Spirit, that's temple of God. So it means that the temple that Moses used to illustrate with the high priest going in, where did the high priest really take the blood to? To the temple. So who? You're already going far. So, go back again. The high priest took the blood into the temple. Are we together? Who is our high priest? And he took the blood into where? The temple. Is it the blood? Is that blood he's taking his blood? Is it the high priest? Where is he going to? The holiest of holies. That's the inner core. So where is the real inner core Jesus went to? The heart of men. So look at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered. Are we together? He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal. Remember, we read from this meeting that we said that God will not dwell. Remember, Stephen said something. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. The temple God will dwell in, he will make it with his hand. What is the temple? Man. Are we together? So he says, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal what? Verse 13. Look at verse 13. Let's read together. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 14. What is the blood Jesus offered? It tells you now, eternal spirit. Are we together? So the eternal spirit, remember, Moses tells us that the life of a what? The what? The life. And the life, what's the word he uses? Life of the flesh is in the blood or something like that, right? Let me quickly get that. Leviticus what? 17, right? So, is it Leviticus 17, 11 or thereabouts? For the life of the flesh, are we together? Is in the blood. So, how much more shall the blood of Christ? What is the blood of Christ? Look at it. Who through the eternal spirit? So, the blood of Christ is his life. Are we together? So, the high priest will take the blood. What was the blood to signify? The life of the animal. Did you get that? The life of the animal was symbolized by what? Blood. So he takes the blood, which is the life, into the holy place. So where does God take his life into? The heart of man. What is the life? His blood. What is his blood? His spirit. Are we together? So he now tells you in that verse, where did he offer himself? He offered himself without spot to God. What did he now say he should do? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living what? God. So where was that offering to us? The conscience of man. Are we together? So the blood of Jesus was to the conscience of man. The blood of Jesus was not to God, because God is the sacrificial lamb that takes up flesh to fulfill the promise of the seed to bring a bruising on the devil. I took us back to yesterday, right? God is a sacrificial God who initiates the first step of the Ezer to reconcile man. Are we together? So the conscience of man needs to be affected by the blood. Is that believing the gospel? That's why when you say, when you believe the gospel, what happens? His blood washes your sin. What is his blood? His spirit now indwells you. So the life of the blood that was taken to the holiest of holies is now, that's why it tells you in Hebrews 9, it tells you he goes into the place once. For Jesus, you got it, right? Yeah? For a believer not to be saved forever, Jesus has to come out. For For a believer not to be saved, not to have an assurance of eternal forgiveness of sins, Jesus needs to come out from the holiest place. Who will bring him out? Who will bring him out? It's not possible. Are we together? See what he now says. He says, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of what? The new covenant. That by means of death, did you see that? For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance, not temporary. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. Are we together? For the testament is of force after men are what? Dead. Whereupon, verse 18, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every prophet to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet, wools, hyssop, sprinkled both the book and on the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto us. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the what? Ministry. It was therefore necessary, verse 23, that the patterns of things, check your Bible, in the heavens should be purified with what? These, but the heavenly things themselves, which with better sacrifices than what? 24, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true. Hold on. We looked at the word true yesterday. What's the word there, true? Look at the word truth. Truth is reality. We said the use of the word true. True worshippers. Yeah? We looked at the word true. We said the word aletheinos. And we said that word true is used for comparison. Did I say that? Do you remember now? Used for comparison between the natural and what? Eternal. So look at that again. Let's read that verse again together. For Christ, who is not entered into holy places made with what? Is Christ the high priest? So, which are a figure of the true. Are we together? But into heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year. So, Jesus entered once. The high priest entered what? Every year. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once is the end of the world that he appeared to put away sin by sacrifice of what? And as it appointed unto men to once to die, but after that is what? Let me ask you a question. Is appointed men to die? Is he every man on earth talking about there? He's talking about the high priest now. First to the ground, abide alone. John 12:32. Thank you for that, right? And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. Hold on, look at verse 31. Now is the judgment of what? This world. So go back to Hebrews. When Hebrews chapter what? 9. So it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is what? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of what? Many. Did you see that? Christ was offered to bear the sins of who? Many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear without sin unto what? Now remember the Bible was written in chapters. Don't be tired. We're almost there. Look at chapter 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the what? Very image of things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the commands thereunto what? Perfect. Right? For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of what? Sin. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls to take away sins. So let me ask you a question. The practice of priests going to the temple every year, were their sins sorted? Are we together? The blood of bulls and goats cannot handle sins. That's why Isaiah tells you God did not ask them for blood of animals. Beautiful. But Moses used that as a teaching aid. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not. Did you get that? But a body hast thou prepared me. Verse 6, he now says, in burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no heart, had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books as it is written, to do thy will, O God. Above when he says sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy what? Will. He taketh away the first that he might establish the what? By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for. And every priest started daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same what? Sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, hallelujah, after he had offered what? After he had offered what? For beautiful. One sacrifice for sins forever, sat down where? At the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting his enemies to be made what? For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a what? Proof, a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. I will put my law in their hearts, in their minds I will write them, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. What does remember no more mean? He's not saying he will forget. He's saying I will not take into account their sins and iniquities. Verse 18, one together. Hallelujah. There is no more what? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Be a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. So it means that the house of God has a high priest. Who is the house of God? The believer, right? Beautiful. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Is it part assurance? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil. Does Hebrews 9 come back? Hebrews 9, does it come back to purge your conscience? Yet, let us hold fast. Or look at that. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the what? Assembly of ourselves together as a manner of what? Some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day pro. Now look at verse 26. 1, 2, 3, go. Dear saints, he has been talking about a knowledge of the truth. What is knowledge of the truth? The fact that the high priest is the offering for sin. So what does it mean to sin willfully? It means to reject the offering. Are we together? So to sin willfully doesn't mean I know this is not my Bible, I'll steal it. That's willful sin. No, willful sin in there is not deliberately falling into sin or deliberately doing the bad. Willful sin in there means what? To reject the knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge about? That we have an high priest who has entered into the holiest place once for all. Are we together? So now let's go back and round up the death of Jesus. What does "it is finished" mean? John 19:30. Are you learning something today? John 19:30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So what is all things are accomplished? The writings of the scriptures. But you have to be careful in this part of this teaching, right? That the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now, there was John 19:30. Let me allow you to get there. John 19, I mean verse 29. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it into his what? When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is what? And he bowed his head and what? Can you see, even with all they did to Jesus, he was still the one that gave up. Did you get that? Even with all they did to Jesus, he was the one that what? So then he gave up. Praise God. So, what did he say before he gave up? When he said it is finished, let me ask, is it his death that got you saved? Is it his death that got you saved? Are we together? So, when he said it is finished, it's not everything is finished. It is that part of the fulfillment of the scriptures, or the fulfillment of that of the scriptures that deal with that part of the death is finished. As I Paul now tells you,
if Christ died and did not rise again, we are of all men most miserable. So thank God he rose again.
Because if you are saying, when you say I believe in the death of Jesus, yet you must end well. Let me ask you a question. You know, we looked at incarnation yesterday. Oh, I believe Jesus is in the flesh. Is that what we get to say? I believe Jesus was in the flesh and he died and he said it is finished. Is that what we get to say? You know, so when you say it is finished, what does it mean? You know, we used to say it is finished. Oh, ha ha. Oh, glory to God. Ha, ha. Oh, suffering is finished. Ha, ha. Oh, glory to God. Even your brain is finished. It remains small. When Jesus died and resurrected, did he have to say it is finished again? It means that we need to pay attention to that part he said it is finished. Say, my brain is not finished.
My brain is not finished.
Are we together? Remember, we've taken note and explained that what Adam did was sin and he brought death. And that death, what he did was sin. He brought death. He did not bring poverty. Cain, his immediate son, built a city. Genesis 4, verse 17. Are we together? It is finished. What is finished? That aspect of the scriptures. Which is what? As a sheep led before the mouth of the shearer. So he's saying that the part of the prophecies of the prophet that spoke about his death. Let's look at what is finished. The word there finished is the Greek word telio. The word finished is the word telio. And it's the word that means to fulfill. Telio. To fulfill, to execute, or to discharge, or to accomplish, or to complete. Any of those words, you're fine. It is finished is... it is discharged, it is executed, completed, or it is accomplished. Let's backtrack a little to verse 24 in John. John 19:24. It is finished is what? Now go back to verse 24. It says, then they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Is that his garment? Who shall it be? Do you read that in Psalm 22? Please check your Bible now, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment amongst them, and my vesture they did cast lots. Is that Psalm 22? These things therefore the soldiers what? Did. Look at verse 28. After this, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be what? Fulfilled, saying what? I thirst. Look at verse 36. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be what? Broken. Look at verse 37. And again scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Look at Psalm 34 verse what? 20. He keepeth on his bones, not one of them is what? Is broken. So we see that Joseph of Arimathea has got approval to bury Jesus. The prophecy of Isaiah speaks about, look at Isaiah 53 verse 9. Isaiah 53. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 6. Quickly. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Are we here? And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made sin. Is that true? Yeah. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed. And he was what? Afflicted. Yet he opened not his what? He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. And he opened not his what? Look at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from what? And who shall declare a generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Is that Jesus? For the tradition of my people was he what? Now look at verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Now, making his grave with the wicked, was that in the land of the dead? Is that the land of the dead? With the rich in his death. What is that? Joseph of Arimathea. You got that right? Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Is it the Lord that bruised him? What did the Lord do? The Lord surrendered himself to be bruised by men. Are we together? So he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Are we together? Are we together? So we see that what? The sufferings of Jesus, you see, look at Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10. The sufferings of Jesus were predicted or prophesied by utterances by the prophets. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one who mourned for his own only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, and one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Are we together? So what do you think Jesus was doing in everything he was doing? He was fulfilling what? Scriptures. He was fulfilling the utterances or the scriptures. Also, he was fulfilling the scriptures concerning the events concerning his death. Are we together? Now go back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 9. Look at John 20, verse 8. Okay? Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. Then disciples went away again unto their own homes. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and she wept, and she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth what? Two angels. Now remember, look at verse 17 of John 20, 17. Then Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Did you see that? Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So it means that the work of Jesus, right, was to make people be able to call his Father their Father. All together. Let me recap a little. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are called the what? Eyewitness accounts. Right? That means what eyes could see. So it means that we need to look either at the epistles or the Old Testament books to see what happened outside of the eyewitness accounts. Let me say it better. What the eyes could not see, could only be known by utterances or the writings of the apostles. Are we together? Look at chapter 21 of that John 21:24. This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is what? And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the word itself could not contain the books that should be written of them. Is that a figure of speech? Is that exaggeration? Is that hyperbole? Is it hyperbole? Hyperbole, right? Not hyperbole. Hyperbole, although spelled like bole. Are we together? So the eyewitness account, they were written with a purpose. Now, one of these things, we look at how John wrote his miracles in the book of John. I will show that John paid attention to only 7 miracles. And each of those 7 miracles around the conversations are conversations of the resurrection. Are we together? So, Matthew to John will show you what happened to Christ. Are we together? The epistles will show you what happened in Christ. Did you get that? Matthew to John will show you what happened to Christ. Take note of that. Matthew to John will show you what happened to Christ. The epistles will show you what happened in him. Are we together? Remember, Jesus submitted himself in obedience and not laying hold of his immortal ability, right? So Jesus willingly fulfilled the scriptures Jesus willingly fulfilled those things that were written about him. Are we here? He willingly did that. So he was accomplishing a task. He was meeting requirements of the prophecies of the scriptures. So it is finished is a statement concerning the fulfillment of the prophecies of his what? Death. Not everything is finished. Like I said, if Jesus did not rise again, we are of all men most what? Do you know what that means? It means that our own misery is even worse. Do you understand? So, what is it is finished?
It is completed. It is fulfilled. What is fulfilled? That which the prophecies said will come to pass has been accomplished.
Did you get that? Did you get that? So, those things which the prophets gave by utterances, or what you see in the writings of prophets and Moses, have come or they have happened. So, the cross fulfills the scriptures, but the cross does not fulfill the entire scriptures. We are trying to round up on the death. Have we looked at the death carefully now? We have looked at the incarnation yesterday, right? Did the incarnation fulfill scriptures? Did the incarnation fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures? Did the incarnation fulfill all the prophecies of the scriptures? Did the death fulfill prophecies of scriptures? Did it fulfill all prophecies of scriptures? So the incarnation, the death, fulfilled aspects of the prophecies of what? Scriptures. So, it was written in scriptures that God will put on flesh and die for the sins of man. Did God require the demand or the sacrifice of Jesus? Did God require the sacrifice of Jesus? The sacrifice of Jesus was to the conscience of man. Are we together? So God was the one that put on flesh. If God wanted sacrifices, it means that you can say God is not different from a babalawo, a herbalist. Are you here? Have you gone home? Remember, Isaiah says that what? To what purpose is the multitude of the sacrifice unto me? It says my soul detests. Are we together? So the use of sacrifices was a sign of what? Unbelief, which you read in Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. So the priest was to enter the temple in the Old Testament writings. Was that going to prefigure what our high priest will do? What is our high priest going to do? Enter the temple not made with hands. Are we together? So God made the temple he wants to indwell. Did you get that? I'll say that again. God made with his hands, which is in the real sense figurative for his work. Yeah, God made with his hand through his work the temple he will enter. So the sacrifice was to be offered to where? The conscience of men. In man believing that sacrifice, it is God indwelling them as his temple. All together. Remember we read in Acts chapter 2. Peter makes us see that the right hand of God is where? The indwelling of the Spirit in us. We'll look at that properly tomorrow. Not physically. So, our high priest enters once and for all. Is that true? Does our high priest enter every year? He enters once and for all. So, what do we do every year? We renew our mind of that. Someone should help me. We renew our mind regarding the knowledge of that one sacrifice. Do you understand that? We bring to our mind, our consciousness, every year, every day, every minute, that one sacrifice that has what? Happened. So the sacrifice of Jesus was to who? The conscience of what? Man. Look at it this way. What is redemption? Can we say redemption is delivery or can we say redemption is to deliver from slavery? Are we here? Is redemption delivery from slavery? So it means that if Jesus was delivering us from God, it means that God is a slave owner. Did you get that? Redemption means that you are enslaved to somebody and you are now redeemed from the slave owner. So God cannot be delivering us from himself. It doesn't make any sense. Is that clear? Clear enough? So what is this? Who was the slave owner? And death. So we're in the bondage of sin and death. Are we together? But we have been what? Redeemed. He has brought us forth. He has led us. We have been brought forth. So when you see, that's why you see the writings of Egypt in the Bible is to speak about sin and death. Bondage. Are we together? Is there anything wrong with the country Egypt? No. Egypt was used as a figurative expression to speak about the bondage of sin and death. So what happens to, what did God do with his people? He brought them out from sin and bondage and led them through the wilderness for first of all started from the part of the Red Sea. So what is the part of the Red Sea? He now brings us into adoptions of sons. Are we here? Are we going home? So what was God's role in the crucifixion? He offered himself. He gave up himself. And look at Colossians chapter 2. Finally, look at Colossians chapter 2. Or look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 1. Let's read together. Colossians 1 verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 3. Look at verse 9. Verse 10. Verse 13. Is that Romans 8? For many of you have been led. He has what? Translated us into the kingdom of his. Verse 14, 1, 2, 3, go. Beautiful. Verse 15. Verse 16. Hold on. Is this similar to John 1 verse 1 to 4? In him, by him were all things made. The all things, is he everything on earth? The new creation. Now, let me look at that verse again. It says, whether they be thrones, whether they be dominions, the principalities or powers, all things were created by him for him. Is this saying Mamala was created for him? Is this saying Obanje was for him? Eh? The context of who he's speaking about are those who have been redeemed by the blood. Are we together? So let me help you a little in that explanation. So when he says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth. Remember Genesis, we say heaven and earth as a new creation. Are we taught that? Visible and invisible, heaven in Jerusalem. Is that right? Next day, then I say, whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, or power. Who do you suppose the thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers will be? It will speak about the ministry gifts amongst the believers. He's talking about the church. You must not lose track of that. Are we together? So, the thrones, the dominions, principalities, powers, all these things were created by him for him. Ministry gifts were created by him for him. And he gave gifts unto men. For what? The perfection of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Are we here? Are we going to? Beautiful. So, he now says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of what? The body. The what? Beautiful. Who is the what? The what? From the what? Can you see, did he say only born from the dead? He didn't now use monogenes. What is monogenes? Only begotten. That was used for Jesus in the incarnation. But now in the resurrection is what? First begotten. So the word there, pro is, you know, really got it from proto to cos, really. So it is pro. Are we together? So we now see that he is the firstborn from the, that in all things he might have what? So who is he having preeminence over? The church! So he has preeminence over the what? Now look at verse 19. For he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Verse 21, and you that were sometimes what? And enemies in your what? Can you see? Is my conscience? So where was the blood sacrificed to? The minds of men, the conscience of men. So we are alienated in the mind by wicked works, yet now he hath what? So if the alienation is in the mind, where would the reconciliation be? So what is the Spirit of God to reconcile? Our minds back to God. Our conscience back to God. Let's sound more spiritual. You might think mind is just carnal. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in faith, guarded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of this gospel, which ye have heard, and which we preach to every creature which is under the heaven. Is he animal, including goats? No. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the efficacy of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is what? Which is what? Look at verse 27, to whom God would make known which is what is the what? Riches of the glory of his mystery amongst the, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. Now look at chapter 2. For I would that ye know what great comfort I have for you. Let me just jump a little. And this I say verse 4, lest any man should beguile you with what? Enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order in steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies or in vain after the tradition of what? Yes. Now, is that similar to what Jesus warned about in Matthew 15? Yes. True worship. Beautiful, you are following, right? So, he says, after the tradition of men, NLT will say high sounding what? Nonsense. I love that. Yeah? So look at what he now says. Carefully. And after the rudiment of the world, and not after. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of what? So you will understand the Godhead without seeing Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are what? Which is the head of all. Does this make any sense to you now? Can you see how we use principality and power in chapter 1? Can you see it has to be about the believer? So if Jesus is the head of principality and power in chapter 2 verse 10, it cannot be Obanje. Now look at verse 11. In whom also you were circumcised with the circumcision not made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh with the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. Is that the believer? Yeah. Wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the... Yeah. And you being dead in sins. Is that Ephesians 2? Beautiful. Ye dead in sins and the sins of the flesh, had he what? Quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. So, the forgiveness of our trespasses is the quickening of our spirits. Did you get that? Take note of that. The forgiveness of our sins is the quickening of our spirits. So, the forgiveness of our trespasses is the quickening of our spirits. The forgiveness of our trespasses is the quickening of our spirits. So, what's the proof that your sins are forgiven? The spirit. Your spirit has come alive unto God. Hallelujah. Now, this is where we are going to verse 14. He now says, blotting out the... Let me allow you to finish writing that. Verse 14, 1, 2, 3, go. Which was contrary to God, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, look at verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now let me explain something to you. How did this spoil? Look at verse 11. In whom also you were circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of what? Christ. Buried with him in what? Baptism. Ye are now what? Risen. So upon resurrection, the deliverer is a display of proof that the devil has been disarmed. Are we here? Did you get that? The believer is the proof. Yeah? The believer, the resurrection, upon the resurrection, the believer is a display as the proof that the devil has been disarmed. What is the real disarming? That the believer has come alive and he has received forgiveness of sins. So, did he make a show of them openly? Who are the them? The believer. So, a better way to read that would be he made a show of us. Sister AJ, remember, God did not fight any battle with the devil. Remember that? Remember we talked about today that the death of Jesus was the last card God gave death. So Jesus dealt with death by what? Dying. So it means that the real victory of Jesus is in the fact that he didn't move his hand. Did you get that? Baby said, got it. The real victory of Jesus is in the fact that he did not move his hands. So it means that if he moved his hands, that is the fight and battle of this kingdom. What did he say in Matthew? My kingdom is not of this world. If not, my disciples would have fought for me. Are we together? So it means that the fight of God, even though it is a fight, it is not a fight of combat, but a fight of peace. The real fight is found in the fact that he did not lift his hand. Are we here? Are we here? So, what is the proof that Jesus has disarmed the devil? You know what Jesus said? Look at the believer, their sins are forgiven. So, he made a show of us publicly. That's why Ephesians now tell us we are his workmanship. God boasts in his work that he has done towards us. So, you want to see the best of God's work? Look at the believer. Did you get that? You want to see the best of God's work? Look at the believer. The believer is the proudest work of God on earth. Not the stars, not the moon. No, did God create those ones? Yes. Are we together? So, the word here, to make a show, is a word that means to make an example or to make a pattern. The word here, openly, is the word that speaks about freedom of expression. Or confidence, or boldness. You get this right now, okay? Yeah? So, he made a show is to what? Make an example, is that true? He made a show is to make an example or a pattern. What is openly? Or what? Confidence? Or boldness? So, what is he made a show of them openly? It is really he made a show of us in confidence. Hallelujah. He made a show of us in confidence. So, triumphing implies where the victory is displayed. So, the proof of the victory is the show of us. Are we here? Did you get that? I'll say that again. The proof of the victory is the show of us. So, look at it. Remember, we'll look at what this gospel. Look at it carefully. Now, we'll look at how the word gospel was. Remember, I asked us a few months ago, is the gospel good news? When I asked, is the gospel good news? Right? And I said that the gospel in itself actually has a lot of history. Right? And now the gospel as used in the Old Testament books deals with about a king and a battle won. Now the proof of the battle won is the spoils that he has. So how do you know a king is victorious? Look at the work or look at his workmanship. Are we together? So now, how do you know God is victorious over the devil? We look at the believer. Are we together? Because he partook in death, yet death could not hold him captive. Look at that. That's similar in 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. Is that the triumphing of Colossians 2? Is that the triumphing of Colossians 2? What is triumphing there? It implies where the victory is displayed. So what he displayed is proof of what he did. Are we together? Are we together? So either you doubt what he said or what he did not say in the Hades, that a believer has the sins forgiven is a proof that he did justice and he did a complete work. So let me ask you a question. Is God a man of war? Is God a man of war? He's a man of war, but the war is not the war of man. Yeah? God is a man of war, but his war is not the war of man. God is a man of war, but his war is not the war of man. What is man's war? If you fight me, I blow you back. You know, it's interesting where you see a lot of, we have different categories of atheists. Let me allow you right as well. Yeah? We have God as a man of war. Are we together? But he is not a... His war is not the war of man. You know, we have so many categories of atheists. We have, hungry atheists. Know who hungry atheists are? The ones that stop believing in God because they lost their job. Because there's no light in their house. We have pretentious atheists. Those ones that pretend to be atheists, but they know that there's God. Yeah? They're just pretending. And one of the things that an atheist can fight you from is from the angle of, if God is good, why did he allow war? I'm talking about serious atheists right now. And you'll be asking them, what country are they from? You say the America, for instance. Are they not the superpowers of the world? Please, sorry, superpower in what? In war. So they can justify their war now, but they don't justify the war in the Bible. Don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. Where there was in the Bible, what caused the war? Man and the influence of man's sin in the activities of earth. So hatred came in, jealousy came in, strife came in, that led to killing, led to murder, and defense of dominion, of region and everything. But the war of God will not be the way the kingdom of this world fights their war. So is God a mighty man of valor? Is he a mighty man of war?
Yes.
So when the Bible now says in Psalm 68, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Did he fight a war for his enemy to be scattered? Ah. Did he fight a war for the enemy to be scattered?
Yes.
We already said he's a man of war, so he definitely fought a war. So it means that for his enemies to have been scattered, he fought a war. What is the war? The war of peace. Are we here? So what is let God arise, let his enemies be scattered? Let God arise means not let God leave his throne and walk on the surface of the earth. Let God arise means what? Let him rise from the dead. Let God arise. That is the resurrection. So upon the resurrection, his enemies are what? Scattered. What does scattered mean? It doesn't mean they start saying, hey. No. You see the proof of his victory in the believer that has forgiveness of sin. So what is let his enemies scattered is a figure of speech of saying that the enemies are dumbfounded. Those that thought he would not rise again, he shocked them. Are we here? So God is a mighty man of battle, a mighty man of war. So do you have a mighty man in battle? You are a mighty man in battle. El Shaddai, is he a mighty man in battle? Yes, but the battle of God is not the battle of man. So God is a man of battle, but the battle of God is not the battle of man. He doesn't fight commoners' war. God fights a professional, matured battle. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? You are shooting me, it just stands like this. His war is the greatest war of peace. That's why the Bible now says that it is foolishness to this world. Did you get that? It is foolishness to the minds of this world. That's why it says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. That's a metonymy, that's a figure of speech. He's not saying there's foolishness in God. Are we together? Yeah, so he says that what? He has fought that mighty battle. Yeah, he fought the battle in that he did not lift up a hand. For that's why the Bible says in Isaiah 53, as a sheep led forth before the shearer, he opened not his mouth. So he didn't say a word. He didn't curse them. That is the real war. Let me tell you something. Maturity as a believer is found when someone does evil to you and you don't respond equally. That is the real maturity. Not the slap you punch, you not slap back. Oh, some of you didn't get it. Yeah? The real maturity in the believer is as found in the example of Jesus. What is the maturity? In that he didn't lift up his hand. In that he didn't say a word to insult them. He didn't say your papa. He didn't say raka. Right? He didn't say it will not be well with you. Are we together? In the fact that they were doing evil to Jesus and he opened not his mouth, that is a war being fought. Are we together? So we have a mighty man in battle. So Jesus is the pattern of everyone, or Jesus is the example or pattern for everyone who has been disarmed by forgiveness of sins. How did he do it? He partook of what? Death. I think I closed my letter. I think that's the end. He partook of what? Death. Some of you say, hey, thank God he has gotten there. Go to Romans. Go to Romans, are you? Romans chapter. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5, 17. Remember we read verse 12 where it says what? By one man sin entered into the world, and death by what? Dead by what? Dead by sin. You have blessed me.
Dead by sin.
Yeah. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by what? Beautiful. Now look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Have we explained that in this series? Adam's action gave room for sin to enter, and by extension, death was repercussion. Altogether. So, if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gifts of righteousness shall reign in life by what? By one. So, it means that what? Adam's sin did not make everybody a sinner. Did you get that? If Adam's sin made everybody a sinner, it means that Jesus with resurrection would have made everybody righteous. Did you get that? For you to partake in Adam's sin, it means that you must have walked or you must have been born as an offshoot of Adam and walked according to the course of this world. For you to partake in Jesus' obedience, you must have been born of the Spirit. Altogether, by extension, partake in the work of the Spirit. So look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift upon all men unto justification by life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners. So you remember we've explained that? Yeah? For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. So look at it this way. Remember, it says many. Right? It says many. Did it say all? Beautiful. So it says, by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. But remember, he said in verse 12 that sin passed upon what? All. Did he say men? Did he say many? Did you get what I'm trying to say? Romans 5:12, it says, death passed upon all. It didn't say upon many. Are we together? In Romans chapter 5, verse 13, it now says, one man's obedience, many, not all. Did you get that? Many were made sinners, but so by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. Did Jesus' obedience make everybody on earth righteous? It means that you cannot qualify that Adam's sin made every other person a sinner. Are we together? So look at verse 20. Moreover, the law what? Entered that the offense might what? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace superabounded. So that as sin had reigned unto what? Even so might grace reign through what? Righteousness unto eternal life by who? Verse 6 now says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? What do we do as unbelievers who are believers? We just jump to chapter 6 and say, shall we continue in sin? You must have read from chapter 1 to chapter 5. So he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Rhetorics. He now tells you, God forbid, how shall we? Hallelujah. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his what? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Old man, is that P-man? Beautiful. So our old man has been what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve what? For he that is dead is freed from. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, this died no more. Dead had no more dominion over. For in that he died unto sin what? Once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now says verse 11, let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Look at what is really going to verse 12. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto what?
Sin.
But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from where?
Death.
And your members as instruments of righteousness unto
God.
For sin shall have no dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under? What then shall we say? What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto what? Verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. You thought I would stop there? 18?
Be then made free from sin, give him servants of righteousness. speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have given your members servants for uncleanness and iniquity of all iniquity, even so now give your members servants to righteousness.
Verse 20.
When ye were the servants of sin,
is that Ephesians 2? Walk according to the curse of this world? Is that walking according to the curse of this world? Look at verse 21.
What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things.
Verse 22.
But now if they reap from sin and become servants to God, here are your fruit of holiness and the end of everlasting life.
Verse 23 together.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Hallelujah. Have you had a beautiful time this evening?
Yes, sir.
We'll look at the resurrection tomorrow. Have a lovely evening. See you tomorrow morning.